I'm not a preacher, so I'm not going to preach, basically. I'm going to just share a bit of my experience from Hong Kong. Martin asked us to come and just share something, whatever we felt God calling us to share. And before I talk about what I'm going to share, I just want to just recap what we talked about last time. So for any of you who weren't here last time we came, Joel and I, I'm Joel, this is Joel, you couldn't make it up, we just came and shared a bit about our time in Hong Kong. We just come back about a year ago now, it's almost a year now, we came back from spending 2 years in Hong Kong working with addicts. And Chloe interviewed us and we just shared a bit about our time there. So in brief, we went not really knowing what we were going to do, and we just spent time living with and trying to build relationships with about 50 or 60 drug addicts over the time we were there. At the beginning, we didn't really know why God was sending us there, but we just went out of obedience. But it sort of, as we keep going, it's becoming more and more clear to us why God sent us there. So I'm just going to share a little bit about what I learned over there in Hong Kong, and hopefully it will be useful. It's not going to be too long, and I'm going to try and get a bit interactive, so be ready to discuss. So before we moved to Hong Kong, about 3 or 4 years before, my parents had already been over there, and they started building a relationship with Jackie Pullinger by sending some money to her charity. And she started writing back. And eventually she invited them to go there and spend some time just looking around the campus that they have built there to house the addicts. And we just happened to be going on holiday. So we went with them. My mum knew that both of us had a bit of we felt calling to mission, some form or another. And we, in our heads, we were thinking probably at some point God would take us to Africa. So when we went to meet Jackie and my mum dropped in that we had a heart for mission work, that was, I guess it was the right thing to do, but at the time we're like, no, why did you say that? Because what Jackie then said to us is, well, if you've got a heart for mission work, what questions have you got for me? And we're like, we haven't got any questions. And I said, this is a line right I regret, I said, oh, it'll be one of those things when we get on the minibus on the way home and I'll just have so many questions popping into my head. So Jackie just said, well then, go and have another walk around the building and come back with some questions. So we walked around one more time and nothing, no questions still. And the best I could come up with was, do you have any tips for mission work? And Jackie was very gracious because that was a very silly question, I think. And she just said to us, why don't you come and train here, come and spend 2 years with us here. If you spend 2 years with us here, you'll be trained and equipped to deal with child soldiers in Africa or with prostitutes in Thailand or orphans, wherever you go. So we basically walked away thinking, no way, not a chance, but then God gradually took us there. And I can remember thinking, well, we sort of felt like Africa was where God wanted to take us, and we maybe had an inkling it might be to do with kids, we didn't really know, or orphans or something like that. So I remember thinking, I don't know what she means. Like, how could working with these drug addicts or living with these drug addicts really help us to know how to help orphans? It seems very different. Or how to help us to know how to help people who are child soldiers or prostitutes? And it didn't really click in my mind. And it didn't really until about a year of being over in Hong Kong. And we suddenly realized that we realized before that, but it clicked in my mind at that point. They were not actually there to get these guys off drugs. In our heads, before we left, we thought, well, the Jackie Pullinger's work is to get people off drugs. That's it. But what we realized is that what she's doing over there and what everyone who's involved in it is doing is about freedom. And it's about people getting free from the things that cause them to be addicted, or be free from the the hurts and the pains and whatever's going on under the surface, which then causes those outward signs of distress and comfort seeking in different places. So what I wanted to talk about today was freedom. And it's not going to be particularly deep or particularly long, but hopefully it will mean something to you. So the first thing I wanted everyone to do is just maybe in small groups of people around you, I want you just to talk about what is freedom? What does it mean? And then I'll come and pick on some people in a minute and get some answers. So with the people around you, what does freedom mean? What is it? Another 30 seconds or so just to get some really good answers. Okay, fantastic. My lovely wife Joelle is going to come round with a microphone, I think. Has anyone got an answer they're willing to share? It'd be really helpful if you did.
Hello. Oh, hi. We kind of said having, not having an expectation of something. So kind of letting yourself have that freedom to not expect something to happen, but be hopeful that something will happen instead.
Brilliant. Yep, that sounds great. So not having, being free of expectations.
Well, we've been sort of talking about you'll have freedom within boundaries, within where you come from, where you're going to, and you may have an assumed freedom, but really that freedom is within your own limits. And then Jesus Christ and that actually redirects that and gives you possibly a different way to go on that. But I think freedom, to a great extent, is an illusion.
Yeah, well, worldly freedom, yeah. Thank you.
Freedom, of course, is not freedom from restraint. And also, freedom usually comes from our minds and our spirits rather than our souls and our bodies.
Fantastic. Brilliant, thank you. There's some really, really good answers, all linking actually to what I wanted to share about. So I think there's a bit of a perception in this country that we're really free. In some respects we are. We are free from, in the church we're free to worship. Not always free to share what we believe, but we are free to worship God. We have a democracy. We feel like that's freedom. That's freedom to vote, freedom to make choices. But I think often we can sort of link freedom into being able to do the things that we want. And I looked in the dictionary definition earlier, and I haven't pulled it up here, but it said something about being free to do the things that you want to do. to make choices, being free to make choices. And I think what some of you alluded to was that actually it's not just about being free to do things. Yeah, part of the gospel is being free. We are free to make choices, but we're also free to not do certain things, and we're free to live in restraint. We're free to live with the fruits of the Spirit, which are some of the ways are self-control, and those ideas of just being free to do whatever we want to is not full and total freedom that the Bible speaks about. When I was thinking about what I learned in Hong Kong, I thought I'd just put down a few ideas. So one of them was freedom to do things that we maybe otherwise feel like we're not free to do. Freedom not to do things that other people feel like we should be doing. I liked what you said about being free from expectation, actually, because that's not something that I had got down, but I think it's really important. Free just to be reliant on what we feel God's telling us to do, and not to be burdened and weighed down by the expectation of others. Because sometimes that can be really unhelpful, and actually the roots of a lot of the guys' problems that we had in Hong Kong often came down to some expectations that their parents had had on them, and it was really damaging to them. So I wanted just to share a few Bible verses. I might not do everything that I said or that I planned, and keep it simple. The first thing I wanted to look at was Romans 8, verse 2. Just a few short verses about freedom. So Romans 8, verse 2. I'll read a few. I'll read verse 1 as well. There is therefore... What version do we have? NIV here. Right, I'll get the NIV, so it's all the same. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the first thing that as a believer, the first thing we have freedom from is sin and death. We have salvation. I think that's the most amazing thing that God could have ever given us, is salvation, that chance to be part of his family and to have that grace, the grace that means that we don't get the punishment we deserve, but we get the new life that he's offering to us. And that means we're free to be led by the Holy Spirit. And in the next verse we're going to look at, in Galatians, the people there were... believers were, they sort of got a bit scared of living in freedom, actually, and they started to take lots of the laws of Judaism, and they started to try and implement those laws onto new believers, and they were saying, you know, you have to be circumcised to be a believer. And then, so in Galatians 5:13, just get it. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." So we're not only free to be led by the Spirit, we're also free to show love to other people, particularly as people who might be difficult to love. I think the one thing that I'm struck by when I read the Gospels is how Jesus just sought out the people who everyone else rejected, the people who it would have been really difficult to spend time with, tax collectors, people who were immoral, people whose lives were a mess, and society would have said, these guys, they're not the people you want to be spending time with. But Jesus was so free in his heart that he could love those people, that he could embody God's love to them by sacrificing his own comfort just to be with them and to minister to them. So we're not only free to be led by the Spirit and not the flesh, we're also free to serve each other as Christians. And then the final verse that I want to share at the moment is 1 Corinthians 6:12, which says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. And this is something which actually a lot of us don't walk in, is the freedom not to be mastered by anything. I know that there are things that master me. I spend too much time on my phone. It's one of them. And then when Jesus died on the cross, he bought our freedom. And he actually bought the right for us to not be mastered by anything. And sometimes, like I said before, we don't always know how to walk in that freedom at the moment. We're sort of in that now and not yet stage of the gospel where we see that God's sort of set us free, but we can't always access all of the freedom that we have. And one of the things that we saw out in Hong Kong, which was the most amazing, was God really starting to set people free from things that they just didn't know how to shake off. They didn't know how to get free of them. And the verse that really struck me most of all was a verse I'd like you all to have another discussion about, which is Galatians 5, verse 1. I'd really be interested to see how you interpret this verse and what do you think it means. To Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So in the groups again, that would be really great to have a little chat about this verse. What does it actually mean? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. When I first hear that, I think, well, obviously. But what does it mean? Have a chat about that. Okay, so hopefully we've got some interesting ideas about this verse. Anyone willing to share? Anyone willing to share what they think this verse might mean? Mark, you'd love to share, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we'd love to. I thought you had a really good point to start off with, and then I'll share after that. Well done, Chloe.
Thanks, Chloe. I was just saying that the first bit talks about what Christ has done. So Christ has set us free, and that was on him in the cross. But the second part is our responsibility in it as well, about standing firm, not letting ourselves be burdened again, and living in that freedom and really taking on the significance of what it means to be free because of what Christ has done for us.
And we were also talking about in the time when there would have been a lot of Jewish rituals and those kind of different things that would have been going on, different sects saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And for Christ to kind of come in and say, do you know what? You're okay. Whereas it would have been like life-changing for them. And for us nowadays, we were talking about some of the burdens we have and just not getting caught up in it, trying to give it to God and trying to live in that freedom, but it's not always the easiest thing to do.
Fantastic. Anyone else got anything to share?
Behind this verse is partly how we see Christ's death, and he delivers from the power and penalty of sin. And also, if we got to stand firm, we had to resist, which people don't always think they have to do. So we're responsible for resisting so that we can not be burdened.
Yeah. Great. There's one more at the back here.
It's just a small point, actually. I was just thinking that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Is that the part where, Chris, you put it well, about where we don't no longer have to sacrifice, or the Jewish people rather, no longer have to sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of their sins, because Christ has set them free by his sacrifice. Very small point.
Fantastic. All brilliant answers, and I think really helped to...
I was just going to expand a bit on what Lizanne was saying, because we were talking about the whole thrust of the Bible is about sin, and the Hebrews sacrificed animals as a means of escaping sin because God wanted sacrifice, and Jesus brought an end to that with his own sacrifice according to Jewish symbolism, and brought in the idea that God himself is a loving God who forgives. So we get forgiveness as the answer to sin, rather than sacrifice. There is also the idea of sacrifice of our own lives in his service. But mainly he brought in the idea of a loving God, which the Old Testament God wasn't. He was a God of punishment, and if he didn't do what he wanted. But there was a different conception of God. Yeah. So that freedom is freedom from sin that he brought in.
Brilliant, thank you. So when Jesus died on the cross, he bought our freedom. He paid for it completely. So when I was looking at this verse, I've been thinking about it a lot recently, actually. I'm just thinking it was actually for freedom that he set us free. He set us free so that we could be free. I think what we have in the human condition is that we're created to worship. We're created to worship, and so whatever we choose to spend our time on, whatever we choose to put our effort into, it's almost like it's an extension of our worship in some way. But what humans have tended to do over time is sort of try to head back into slavery in some way or another without even thinking about it. Go back to the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. They just seen God do the most amazing things, and then suddenly they decided, well, we're going to melt down some gold and make a bull and worship the bull instead of God, or they said we'd rather go back to Egypt. At least we knew where we'd get a meal from. And the humanity, we have a we do have a tendency to worship one thing or another, and sometimes we make the choice to worship God, and sometimes subconsciously we make the choice to put other things first and to head down the route of slavery. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, which is a complete opposite to what is saying in this verse, where it says, don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So God set us free so that we could be free and we could walk in freedom. But we do, our nature is to find things to take comfort in. And if we don't find those things in God, then we're heading down a road which isn't leading to life and isn't leading to God's plan for us. So I thought I'd just share a little bit about when we're in Hong Kong, how do we see people restored to freedom? How do we see people's lives turned around? And actually, we saw some amazing transformations. We saw some people who came in and their faces just looked dark and full of, I can't even explain it. But then when we saw what God was doing in their hearts and in their lives, we saw them, their faces suddenly transformed to be full of light and full of His love. So I just thought I'd share some of the things that we saw and some of the things that were most powerful in setting free and giving the guys that we work with freedom, and ourselves actually. A big thing that we saw holding people into a kind of bondage was unforgiveness. And even people being unforgiving without even realizing it. And we saw some amazing transformations when people were able to give up some of the hurt that they've received to Jesus and forgive the people who had hurt them. So forgiving was one thing that was one of the most powerful. And one of the guys who led the house, one of the house that we stayed in over there, said this to us. He said that unforgiveness is like, it's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Because all it does is it hurts us. It doesn't actually affect them. It just hurts ourselves, and it stops us from fully being able to appreciate God's forgiveness of us. He's forgiven us totally and fully, even though our sins against Him are much greater than things people have done to us. And that act of forgiving is a massive, massive part of receiving forgiveness and receiving forgiveness ourselves and being free to then live in the life that God wanted us to live. So that's one thing that we've seen really huge changes in people through. Another thing was, we found that a lot of the guys over there had terrible, terrible childhoods. Really, really sad, some of the stories that they'd had. Some of them had been chained up. Some of them had, lots of them had been beaten. Most of them had been beaten by parents. And, you know, they'd been left to a life of being in the gangs and from a very early age, maybe being asked to take drugs to different people. And as a result of some of their childhood experiences, they believed a lot of lies, and the enemy had just sort of poked those lies and kept, it was almost like they add salt into the wounds to make them worse. And then what we found is the guys believed a lot of lies about themselves. They believed that they were nothing. They believed that they didn't matter. They believed that no one is going to look out for them. No one's going to provide for them. They believed that if they don't do something, then they're hopeless. So they started to try to take control of their own situations, and often that resulted in taking drugs or being involved in triad gangs. And one thing that we found really powerful was when we were able to help those guys to see the lies that they believed and then break them in the name of Jesus. To break the lies, and then we asked God to reveal His truth to them. And we saw some absolutely incredible transformations when people started to believe that God could love them, where before they had a root of, don't even know how to phrase it, a root of just feeling like they couldn't be loved. And often, often these experiences came down to things in their childhood, but when we started to help people see that God's truth was that they are loved, that they are forgiven, that they are free, we saw huge changes in them. And then worship was a huge, huge area where we saw people receive freedom. Over the way that they do the worship times over in the houses that we stayed in was that they would teach the brothers quite early on that they can hear from God. And it's amazing to see people who've been on the streets maybe a week before starting to feel like they can hear God speaking to them. And we had some examples of brothers who had never read a Bible before in their life, and they just felt God giving them some words to say. They spoke it out, and it was almost word for word. I can't remember what book it was from the Bible. It was almost a direct word for word quote from the Bible. And so we found that the guys started to hear God's heart for them, and they would often say really simple things that they felt God saying. So they might say, "I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid." And they just share what they felt God saying to the people. And what happened in the worship times was that the brothers were encouraged to then share these words, and then they would get prayer for the things where they felt they were struggling. So often you'd have some people would see a picture, and they feel God showing them something through the picture, and then that linked to another word someone else had given, and then someone else had already got a Bible verse ready to share, and it was about the same thing. And we found that the Holy Spirit really, when we were open to the Holy Spirit moving, the Holy Spirit really led all of us into receiving more and more of his healing and receiving more and more of his freedom. So the worship times were really, really special to see people who had felt like they were nothing being used by God. And I felt like this evening it would be good, whilst we're worshipping, to try and do something similar here as we worship. And I feel like it would be really powerful if we would be willing to just humble ourselves and be free to try and hear from God, and be free to try and share what he's saying to us. And that could be as simple as a Bible verse that you just keep getting the Bible verse coming up in your head. During the worship time, feel free to come and just share that, speak it out. Or you might just get a sense that God wants to say something. Please be free to come and share that and to encourage other people with it. Because, like I said, we saw some incredible, incredible things happen during worship times. And I think whenever I've heard about prophecies and words from God before, I always thought they had to be really big and like, "I saw that you last week, you got on a bus and you saw this and this and this happened." And what we learned was actually God can use us with the most simple of words. And if we are willing just to listen to his whisper to our hearts, and we can just share. And obviously we wouldn't be sharing anything that's not encouraging or building people up. But I just want to encourage you during this worship time, if you feel that God's just putting something on your heart to bring, please feel free to come and bring it. So I haven't really got much more to share about freedom. It may not be anything more than you've already known before, but that's what God's been teaching me, and God's shown us as a family as we've moved through our time in Hong Kong. So as we worship, we're just going to respond in worship. We're going to respond to the God who sets us free, the God who died on the cross for us, whose blood has brought our salvation and has brought our right to be free and to not be burdened by the things of the world, but to be trusting in him. So if you've got a Bible verse, come and share it. If you've got a word, please come and share it. But also during the worship time, we've got here the cross, and there's some paper down here, and some pens, and there's a basket. So I just felt like during the worship time, if you feel God prompting you as someone that you should be forgiving. In the earthly sense, there may not be any reason why you should forgive them. Maybe the thing's still occurring, the situation. Maybe they've never apologized. Maybe it's still really painful. But I just want to encourage you that God's forgiven you and given you eternal freedom. And as part of that, he calls us to forgive others. So if there's some, just ask the Holy Spirit, is there someone that you need to just forgive? Doesn't need to be a huge thing. You don't need to tell them at all. It can just be between you and God. And if God just put someone in your heart, please just come right down, fold it up, put it in the basket at the foot of the cross, give it over to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you deal with this? Because when you died on the cross, your blood was sufficient for me to forgive other people. So during the rest of time, if you feel led to do that, please come and do it whenever you feel is the right time. But we're going to stand and worship now. Because God is good, and he is a God who loves us and encourages us to be with him, and he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to spend time with him. So let's just spend some time worshiping, singing out some truth. Yeah, cool. Thank you. Just band wanna come up and we'll get started.